स्वामिनि दिनामिनि। नमस्ते सारस्वति देवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर जॉइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग from this book Bhaktialoka by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a collection of essays, 12 essays based on the second and third verses of Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, in which there is a discussion about the six favorable and six unfavorable limbs activities for practicing devotional service. So in which we are in the currently in the 10th essay, which discusses about the theme of tattat karma pravartanat, you know, performing activities which are favorable for devotional service, or performing one's duties which are prescribed for a devotee. So the duties which are prescribed for a devotee are actually the 64 limbs as discussed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So in discussing those 64 limbs, the last few weeks we were discussing from the five most potent limbs. So in that we already discussed about deity worship and the glories of Srimad session in the we took a few sessions to cover. So today we will start discussing about this theme of Sajatiya Ashaye Snigde Shri Bhagavad Bhakta Sango, association with like-minded affectionate devotees. So this is a very important principle that we are going to discuss today. Actually, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Sajatiya Ashaye Snigde Sadhu Sangha Svatovare. These are the aspects of association, which is like-minded, affectionate, devotee association, who is more advanced than us. Swato vare means more advanced than us, or it also means even if they may not be more advanced than us, but if there is sufficient affection and enthusiasm for pushing each other to progress together. If I am feeling down, you push me. If you are feeling down, I will pull you. In this way, we will encourage each other and progress together. So, when that kind of a mutual attitude is there, an attitude to encourage each other in Krishna consciousness, then that kind of an association is very favorable for Krishna consciousness. So these are the four aspects which Srila Srila Rupa Goswami talks about here. Like-minded, affectionate, devotee, and one must be more advanced than oneself, or that must be a mutual commitment for pushing each other and inspiring each other in Krishna consciousness, right? So we will start this section by discussing the glories of the association of devotees. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions Tulayama Lavenapi Nasvargam Napunad Bhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kimutashishaha. So he says, Lavena, one lava is a fraction of a second. Lavena Api Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya. Even a moment's association of a devotee of the Lord, na tulayama, it cannot be compared. స్వర్గం అపునర్భవం. ఇట్ కెనాట్ బి కంపేర్డ్ ఈవెన్ టు ది అటైన్మెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది హెవెన్లీ ప్లానెట్స్ ఆర్ లిబరేషన్ ఫ్రమ్ మ్యాటర్. కిముత వాట్ దెన్ టు స్పీక్ ఆఫ్ మర్త్యానామాశిష, వాట్ దెన్ టు స్పీక్ ఆఫ్ వరల్డ్లీ బెనడిక్షన్స్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ ప్రాస్పెరిటీ విచ్ ఆర్ మెంట్ ఫర్ దోస్ హు ఆర్ డెస్టైన్డ్ టు డై. సో ఈవెన్ మొమెంట్స్ అసోసియేషన్ విత్ అ డివోటీ cannot be compared to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter. So here Srila Jiva Goswami says Bhagavat Sanghi Sangha means association with persons who are attached to the Lord. Sangha means attachment, and he who constantly has that attachment to the Lord is called a Sanghi. So the Sanskrit word Sangha is not exactly translated as association, because Sangha means attachment. There is, when there is attachment, only then it is called as Sangha. Otherwise, association means not just two or a few people coming together does not make it a sangha. We may call it as association, but sangha means where there is mutual affectionate association, mutual affectionate attachment. When there is there, then it is called as sangha, right? So even a moment's association with such a person cannot be compared to attaining the heavenly planets. And if that associate, if that attachment is to a devotee, then it is very powerful. In praising the association of devotees, the sages at Naimisharanya show that they have also a similar desire for association of devotees. The verse is used here as an example, since it acts as a good instruction for others. The affectionate nature of devotees should be implied from the verse. So one should understand that, you know, there must be affection, mutual affection. Only then it is called as Sangha. Without affection, just cohabiting with someone or living with someone is not a very potent limb of devotional service. So there must be positive attachment to devotees. That is very critical. One should also see a similar verse in the fourth canto, very similar verse, almost same meaning. Just a different unit of time is used. Kshanarde napi tulaye na swargam na punarbhavam bhagavat sanghi sangasya martyanam kimutasishyam. Same meaning, exactly same verse only. Just that a different unit of time is used. Then lava was used, here kshana is used. Both are, you know, less than a second actually. So same meaning. So this verse explains how much we should speak of the glories of the great ocean of association with such devotees who have become visible in front of us. So we should not compare moments association with devotees who are attached to the Lord with swa, which is the result of karma, or liberation, which is the result of jnana. Actually, there is no comparison. This is a very unfair comparison. But because people of this world cannot relate to anything greater than swarga, or if they are little more advanced, they cannot relate to anything greater than liberation. But by the association of devotees, we get prema. And in what to speak of prema, in comparison even to bhava, the bliss of liberation becomes very, very insignificant. Moksha lagutakrit. And prema is millions of times more blissful than even bhava. So there is no comparison at all between even the bliss of liberation and the bliss of prema. So the association of devotees can bestow one prema. So therefore it is a very, very unfair comparison. But because people of this world cannot imagine something more than swarga. In fact, for people to imagine even the pleasure of swarga is very difficult. It is very difficult for them to imagine even the pleasure of swarga. Because they have experienced only meager pleasures within this earthly planetary system. Very meager pleasure. So then what to speak of the highest pleasure available on earth? Then what to speak of heavenly pleasures? And then what to speak of liberation? So therefore, how can you even attempt to explain them about the bliss of, about what benefit we stand to gain by the association of devotees? So therefore, we cannot compare at all the association with the worldly blessings of men in this world, such as a kingdom. That is because by the association of devotees, the sprout of bhakti, which is very rare, appears. We should not even compare the complete results of karma or jnana with a moment's association with a devotee or with a small particle of sadhana bhakti. So even the complete benefits that we may get by the practice of karma and jnana should not be compared even with a moment's association with a devotee. What then to speak of devotee association of long duration? Or even more, what to speak of the bhakti which results from that association? So even little bit of ajnata sukriti that one may get through the association of devotees, it is greater than liberation. Because that ajnata sukriti is transcendental in nature. And it can potentially lead to prema. But this impersonal liberation will actually become an obstacle from one attaining the highest goal of prema. So therefore, so the moment association which may give little bit of ajnata sukriti for that living entity, that little ajnata sukriti is more valuable than even liberation, actually. So therefore, if a moment's association is so valuable, what then to speak of long association, you know, association for a longer duration? And then what then to speak of, due to that long duration, it may actually mature to the level of bhakti. If that association matures to the level of bhakti, then it is even more great. Even more, what can we say about attaining prema, which is a result of bhakti? Okay. So these comparisons are suggested in this verse. So therefore, even a moment's association with a devotee is much more valuable than anything of this world or even beyond this world. So therefore, we should understand what is the value of that association and how sincerely we should take it, how eagerly we should consider that association. A generic association with devotees is a very powerful limb of bhakti. But what makes that limb one of the most powerful limbs of bhakti is if it has these elements of like-mindedness. Because if there is like-mindedness, then there is a lot of pleasure from engaging in the same engaging in the same kind of devotional activities. And on top of that, if there is affection, then there is a lot of satisfaction and pleasure And if that person is more advanced than us, then we derive lot of spiritual benefit also from that. So these comparisons are suggested in this verse, it is mentioned. Since it is used in the negative, the meaning is that we should not even imagine a comparison between devotee association and the other items, just as one could never compare Mount Meru to a mustard seed. The verb is in the plural number in order to suggest that it is not possible for anyone to disprove this statement, since it is the opinion of many. So this is not the opinion of a few people. This is actually the opinion of many people. So therefore, you cannot disprove. The importance of association with the devotees who are attached to the Lord may be explained in terms of the following verse. You know, how important is the association of devotees? Okay. Anyways, any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on what we have discussed till now? Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue our discussion. Next, let's discuss about what is the potency of a sadhu? What is the potency of a sadhu? So, this is from, I think, Harinam Chintamani, in which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, in the pure Vaishnava resides Krishna's energies of bhakti, which is Fladini and Samvit. Fladini is the bliss potency and Samvit is the knowledge potency. Okay. So here, pure Vaishnava refers to here perfected sadhu who is at the stage of either bhava or prema. Okay. So in that pure Vaishnava resides Krishna's energies of bhakti, which is Samvit and Hladini Shakti, are present in that particular sadhu. So, he says, thus, by contacting a Vaishnava, one can also receive Krishna bhakti. Just by coming in touch with a Vaishnava, one can also receive Krishna bhakti. For this reason also, the food remnants, the food water and the food dust from pure Vaishnavas are three powerful articles for creating bhakti. Bhaktapa daduliya rabakadajal, bhakta bhukta avasheshati namaha bal. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says there are three very potent agents of enhancing our devotional strength. What are those three very potent agents? Bhakta Pada Duli, the dust of the Vaishnava's lotus feet. Bhakta Pada Jal, or the foot wash from the foot wash of the Vaishnava. Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha, or the food remnants of a Vaishnava. Teen Mahabal, these three are very, very potent, enhancers of one's devotional strength. If one stays near a pure Vaishnava for some time, one can receive the bhakti energy flowing from his body. So bhakti energy literally radiates from the body of the Vaishnava, a very advanced Vaishnava. If one can bind that energy within one's heart after having developed strong faith, bhakti will develop and one's body will begin to tremble in ecstasy. So, this is the potency of the association of a Vaishnava. So, just by being near that Vaishnava, one starts experiencing the devotional energy. సో దస్ బై లివింగ్ క్లోజ్ టు అ వైష్ణవ సూన్ డివోషన్ విల్ అపియర్ ఇన్ వన్స్ హార్ట్ ఫస్ట్ సచ్ అ పర్సన్ బిగిన్ చాంటింగ్ ది హోలీ నేమ్ అండ్ దెన్ బై ది పవర్ ఆఫ్ ద నేమ్ హీ విల్ రిసీవ్ ఆల్ గుడ్ క్వాలిటీస్ సో జస్ట్ బై ది అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ సచ్ ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ వైష్ణవస్ వన్ విల్ న్యాచురలీ గెట్ a desire to chant the holy name. And by chanting the holy names, automatically all good qualities will manifest. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvair gunais tatra samaste suraha. So he says, this is the particular power of the uttamadhikari, of the perfected devotees, just by darshane pavitra karo etumara gun. Just by taking darshan of such of such devotees, actually one it enhances one's devotion. So this is what is the potency of a Vaishnava. But one should not say that the people with whom I am staying, they are not uttamadhikaris. That is okay, they may not be uttamadhikaris, but still they are much, much better company to have than the than materialistic association. Okay. So, therefore one should not say that, oh, but this is the glorification of the Uttamadhikari. I don't have much Uttamadhikari opportunity to associate with Uttamadhikaris. So I might as well not associate. This is a very poor argument. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Ask. Okay. If there is none, let's continue our discussion. So the next aspect. So, we saw that there are four aspects of that association. The first aspect is like-minded. Sajatiya ashaya. Okay. What is like-mindedness? Okay. So, like-mindedness has various levels. The like-mindedness evolves. Okay. First, when someone gets introduced to devotional service, he is a new devotee. Okay. So when someone just newly becomes a devotee, then for such a person, like-mindedness means any devotee is like-minded. Any non-devotee is not like-minded. Okay. So this is the first level. As soon as someone takes up devotional service, any devotee is like-minded association. Okay. And any non-devotee is not like-minded association. Right. When someone then starts very regularly following, let's say, a particular parampara. Okay. Let's say, ISKCON. So, then when there is not only an identification as a devotee, but if one starts identification with a particular parampara very clearly, then like-minded association becomes any ISKCON devotee is like-minded association, because we follow the same parampara, we worship the same Lord, we follow the same books. So any ISKCON devotee becomes like-minded association. Okay. Then when we spend even more time in the movement, then like-mindedness becomes, you know, share. Maybe we may share a liking for the same limbs of devotional service, or affection for same spiritual master, okay, God brothers. So these are various reasons why one may become even more like-minded, right? We like the same limb of devotional service. We share a same definition of success in devotional service. Someone thinks, oh, success means to chant more and more means more success. Another person also thinks the same way. So then there is bonding. Okay, you get together to chant more. Come, let's chant more, Or someone thinks, Prabhupada has spent so much time writing these books. The success of devotional service means to distribute these books. Okay, Prabhupada emphasized so much on book distribution. So, they may gel with other people, other devotees who may also share that definition of success of Krishna consciousness. Okay. Or it could be someone who have a common liking or affection for the spiritual master, the God brothers or God sisters. Right. So you get together and hear the spiritual master speak together, his recordings. You read about him. You read the books that he has written together because of that shared affection for the same spiritual master. Right. So in this way, the like-mindedness evolves as and when we progress more and more. Then when one comes to the stage of Raganuga Sadhana, okay, when one very clearly develops a desire to worship Krishna in a particular mood or rasa, when one reaches that level, then like-mindedness becomes let's say someone is aspiring for Sakya Rasa, then whoever else is aspiring for that same Sakya Rasa, then that becomes like-minded. So then they can get together, discuss these Sakya Rasa pastimes with great relish, encourage each other, right, and meditate, help each other meditate, and hear those pastimes together, discuss together, remind each other, smaranta smarayantascha. So they remember and remind each other of these pastimes. In this way, the definition of like-mindedness evolves as one evolves in the path of devotional service. So about this, a verse is quoted from the book Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. Yasya yat sangati pumso manivat syat satad gunaha swakula vidyai tato dhiman swayutani eva samshrayet. Very interesting verse spoken by a very interesting personality. So he says, a man tad gunah syat, a man will attain the qualities yasya yat sangatihi, a man will attain the qualities of the person with whom he associates. Whomever one associates with, a person will attain those same qualities. Manivat, just like a transparent crystal, when it is placed near a reddish object, the transparent crystal reflects that reddish object and it becomes red. If it is kept next to an yellow object, reflects that yellowish object and it becomes yellow. So just like a transparent crystal takes up the color of the object next to it, similarly, therefore a wise man, dhiman, swayutaneva samshrayet, therefore the wise man will take shelter of those who have qualities like his own, swakula rudyay, for the prosperity of his family. Right. So therefore, a person, for example, if a person is aspiring to become a doctor, if he's a medical student, it will be most beneficial for him if he starts associating with other medical students. Okay. But if he's associating with other engineering students or commerce students, it will not be useful for his development of his medical skills. Right. So he says, so this verse, interestingly, is spoken by Hiranyakashipu to Prahlad Maharaj. So Hiranyakashipu tells Prahlad Maharaj, "O Prahlad, be careful. Why did you associate with these Vaishnavas? These Vaishnavas are not like-minded association. They don't share our goal. They don't share our practices. They don't share our culture. They don't share our value system. So if you associate with them, then your goal of becoming a very powerful demon will not be realized. Therefore, be very careful with your association. Associate with those people who share your definition of success." And that's exactly what Prahlad Maharaj was doing. Just that Hiranyakashipu did not realize that Prahlad Maharaj shared like-mindedness with the Vaishnavas and not with his own father. So he was advising Prahlad Maharaj, "Prahlad, be careful. Why are you associating with these Vaishnavas? Your association should nourish the goal that you are trying to attain. If you associate with these Vaishnavas, your goal of becoming a very powerful, valorous demon will not be accomplished. So choose like-minded association," like that Hiranyakashipu was instructing Prahlad Maharaj. So this verse makes clear the power of association with like-minded persons using an example. This is a chant of Hiranyakashipu to Prahlad. Though the demon's intention was otherwise, because it is a general statement, it is possible to use the verse according to one's own intentions. This is the aim of the author. So, even though he wanted to make a particular point, but he has presented a generic principle. Hiranyakashipu has presented a generic principle here. Just like Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, "Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejatinte kalevaram tamtameva iti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavita." This is a generic principle where he says that whatever object one thinks about at the time of death, one attains that object in the next life. One attains that nature in the next life. So this is a very generic principle. So like that, here Hiranyakashipu is giving a very generic principle, and the generic, even though his intention was otherwise, but the principle is universal. So therefore, this verse is often quoted by our acharyas in order to establish the importance of like-minded association. Like that. So, manivat means like a crystal. It is used here as an example to illustrate taking up the qualities of an object in proximity, though it also has the quality of being completely unsteady, taking up any color of any nearby object. But that is not the way in which the word, in which this example is used. Okay. So, that is not the way in which this example is used. the point that is made here is a crystal becomes, takes up the color of the object that is next to it. Similarly, we also can develop the same qualities, or we also can enhance the qualities that we have if we have the right kind of association of those people who possess that qualities which we are aspiring for in very good quantity and quality, like that. So swayutan here indicates sajatiyan, like-minded. Swayutan eva samshret, one should associate with like-minded association. So this is the first aspect of association, which makes the association of devotees very, very powerful, which is like-mindedness. So when there is like-mindedness, then there is nourishment of our desire to attain that goal. Because someone else is also endeavoring in that same direction. So whenever we lose some enthusiasm by seeing other like-minded people pursuing that same goal with more enthusiasm, we can pick up our enthusiasm also. So therefore, like-minded association, like-mindedness is a very important principle or parameter which we should aspire for in finding friendships, like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay, there is something in the chat box. Okay, let's see. Okay, there is, the question is, this association should be in what form? Should it be physical, through books? How should that association be? Physical is one form of association. But physical association may not necessarily translate into meaningful association. Like, for example, now we are having an association. So this association is not even physical. It is only virtual. We have not seen each other. Right? Most of you have not seen you. Right? And you have not seen me, because mostly my video is also not on. Right? So this is not physical association, but this is virtual association only. But this is certainly meaningful association, because we are coming together and discussing Krishna Katha and discussing those aspects for mutual improvement in devotional service. So, so physical association is very good if it is meaningful also. But if physical association is not meaningful, then virtual association, which is meaningful, is more better. So now, because many times people say that people say that this hearing this lecture, recorded lectures and all, is not good. Only physical association is powerful. This virtual association is, but it depends on the attitude with which we accept this whole thing. Many times, if the person who is hearing the recording, he may have great eagerness and great desire to lap up that association. But the person who is having that physical association may be finding fault with the other person. So therefore, it is not a question of physical or virtual. It is with how much appreciation and eagerness we take that association. And that association could be through books, Books is also another form of associating. We are associating with Srila Prabhupada through his books. Isn't that a powerful form of association? Yes. So, ultimately, whether it is physical or virtual or through books, if it is on a meaningful platform, then it is very valuable. But if it is not so meaningful, it is just useless waste of time, then it is not so powerful. Anything else anyone would like to share as an? Yes, Gauranga Purushottam.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes,
in generally, the devotee and this counselor also generally speak like that ki, when there is an association of Maharaji and the Prabhupada disciple in the temple, we should go and attend the class, mostly in offline only. In post-COVID, there is a situation happening, everybody want to hear from home. They don't want to travel, they want to save time also. Mm-hmm. So in this video, just I want to ask, in generally also in this, our Bhakti Swami Sindhu also has seen, when the pure devotee speaks, so there is a, in that midst of the pure devotee, when they talks, there is a no envy happens in the fourth canto also speaks. So which is the best? Means either go for this offline or not, because in this given the pure devotee speaks, so there is an effect of their means some effect there is it may be there is no envy in hatred among this devotee, they also can resolve, or even because by the presence of pure devotee and audience of the pure devotee, or anartha also can go. So, whether this is offline or online, we test.
Well, if there is an opportunity for offline association, one should definitely take that association. So, that is always there. But we are talking about a case, but if it is not available, even online is better. Ultimately, the parameter which decides is, but you may have a case where you have two opportunities. One association is available online, another association is available offline, but someone may feel more nourished by the online association than the offline association. So, like say for example, so you may have, you may have your spiritual master giving a live class online, and you may have a Bhagavad Gita class happening in the temple. So, and the person may feel more inspired and more nourished hearing his spiritual master speak online than the physical association that may be available in the temple. So therefore, I personally don't feel the parameter is by which kind of association one feels very nourished. That decides, and that is all individual. So you cannot just say that, oh, you are sitting at home and hearing something, you know, you are not... you will not progress. We cannot make such blanket statements. Definitely, it is something that nourishment is something which is very individual. So, what nourishes us may not necessarily nourish others. So ultimately, if the person is sincere, then he or she will seek that which is most nourishing to them. So that nourishment, personal nourishment is the deciding parameter, I would say.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Mother Gail.
Well, Prabhu, I had raised my hand because I wanted to ask the very thing that you just said, you know? So I got confirmation for my own thinking. And I just want to say to everything you said about this subject, online, offline thing, I want to say, amen, amen, amen. I'm here jumping up and down, so happy about everything that you said. So no question, just I had to make this comment. Hare Krishna.
This is something very historical. I think we should mark this whole thing. Because first time you have raised your hand and you don't have a question. So I think it's something very historical, I think. So
I was just so happy to hear this comment, this just answer that makes just so much sense. You know, what is the point of, you know, going to something offline if you're more nourished by something that's online? You have to follow, you know, your heart, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I agree. But of course, we have to, but there is one thing which I definitely wish to mention. There is definitely some potency in physical association also. We cannot deny that fact. But it is one of the parameters. You cannot make that the only parameter. Even though sometimes, you know, you may have a virtual association of really like-minded devotees in sync, you know, to the extent that, you know, when a particular point is made, some of our discussions you have people, you know that when some point is made, who would raise their hand and what question they would ask, also you can guess, you know. And there is so much, you can say like a sort of very unspoken camaraderie and a kind of a very strong understanding between the personalities, even though they may be physically not together. And sometimes in physical association, you may not feel that level of closeness also sometimes. So, but having said that, if the opportunity for that same virtual association, inspiring virtual association is available physically, then one should definitely choose physical. And I'm sure one would naturally choose physical because that's what would be inspiring to their heart. So ultimately, one should take a call purely based on the principle of nourishment. How nourished one feels in that association. So it may be virtual, it may be physical. So we cannot say blindly that physical association is only best. So our virtual association is always bad. We cannot say like that.
Yes, I wanted to say that. You cannot go blindly and say. But also, I was also thinking that it could even, you know, if you have, let's say, unfavorable sentiment towards somebody who is regarded as a pure devotee, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it could even be detrimental if you go and see that person just based on their reputation as pure devotee. If you're having any kind of negative, you know, thing going on in your own heart, it's better to keep your distance, even though you might have opportunity to see that person offline.
Yeah true. That's so, a very
so
unique,
you know,
case.
Offline thing can even be, you know, what to speak of, you know, not nourishing, but it could even be detrimental depending upon your situation.
True. Yeah. So if we have something not so favorable going on, you know, maybe we don't appreciate that person's way of speaking, his other idiosyncrasies, or we have seen some faults in that person. And by physically going, we will see it all the more, and it may aggravate our offensive mentality, and we may commit more offenses. And that way, you know, it may become, you know, more detrimental for our devotional service. That's possible. Yeah, I agree with that point.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, there is maybe a comment here in the chat box. I am also motivated to chant 16 rounds and taking bhakti more seriously by hearing on YouTube and then in these live classes. Yes, okay, thank you. I feel very fortunate to be among so many sincere devotees. Yeah, I feel very fortunate too, to be amongst so many sincere devotees. It's very inspiring. In fact, you know, I had the opportunity for the last 12, 13 years to live in the association of devotees. Now that I have moved to a different place to take care of my parents, I don't get that association very often, physical association. So for someone who was so used to living in the association of physical association of devotees, I have to tell you honestly, you know, you must have observed that, you know, I have been increasing my online commitments more and more. Initially, we had one session a day, then it became two sessions a day, then it became three. Now we have four sessions. And if you add the japa session also, it is like, you know, we have five sessions every day. That is because I am so much dependent on the association of devotees. And I have to tell you that it is this association of virtual, you may call it virtual or whatever, but this is my association, and I feel so nourished in this association. That is why I eagerly look forward. Even though many times I keep sharing the same thing again and again, irrespective of whatever book we are discussing. And all of you are so magnanimous that you still keep attending these sessions. But honestly, I feel very nourished. But having said that, whenever I get the opportunity to come and physically take association in the temple, I feel very grateful for that too. But when that opportunity is not there, I feel very grateful for this online association that I receive. I honestly feel very nourished and grateful. Yes, Sri Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, since we are talking about it, I just wanted to humbly tell you that after hearing these classes, I'm getting into a new dimension of, you know, helping and, you know, trying to nourish my Krishna consciousness. So I know it's helping you, but looking at all the dedication and all the classes that you are doing and the depth of knowledge that you give through all the classes, Prabhuji, so indebted and in nutshell, it's giving me a new dimension that I'm trying to explore and introspecting, Prabhuji. So thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so I think we will move forward to the next aspect. So we discussed about like-mindedness. Now let's move on to the second aspect, which is affectionate. This is very critical. This is a very critical parameter. Because if like-mindedness is there, but affection is not there, then it will lead to envy and competition. If we like the same limb, and if we are good at performing the same limb, and if there is no mutual affection, then there is always a sense of envy and competition. So, what is that person doing? What class is he giving? Which book is he speaking on? How many people are attending his classes? You know. But if there is affection, then you genuinely wish that person do well and you want to collaborate and do things, right? So, and you feel so happy seeing what the other person is doing, and you wish well for him. And these are such empowering emotions. Affection, well for others. And on the other hand, envy, competition are such energy sapping emotions actually. So affection is very critical. So how do we develop this affection? Through these six exchanges. Dadati pratigrannati guhyam akhyati pichati bhungte bojayate chaiva shadvidam priti lakshanam. Through these six exchanges. Okay. Giving gifts and accepting gifts in return. Feeding prasadam and receiving prasadam in return. And then opening one's heart in confidence, and when the other person has a desire to open up his heart in confidence, then we hear with empathy. These six exchanges actually nourish affection. So in fact, Sangha means where there is nourishment of relationship through these six exchanges, only then it is called as Sangha. Otherwise, it is not called as Sangha. Of these six exchanges, four exchanges are very foundational. Okay. Giving gifts and receiving gifts in return. Feeding prasadam and accepting prasadam. These are very preliminary exchanges. Okay. These are preliminary but foundational. Okay. So when these exchanges happen, it generates a sense of gratitude, affection, trust in both the parties' heart. So when this kind of affection, trust, a sense of camaraderie improves, then at some point they may become comfortable enough to open up their hearts to the other person. And when the other person opens their heart in confidence, one becomes ready to ready to hear with empathy. So that is possible. But there has to be a kind of foundational trust that needs to develop. Foundational friendship and trust. When that develops, then the opening up of the heart becomes very easy. And when the friendship reaches that level where one becomes very comfortable in opening up their heart in confidence, with full trust that they won't be judged for whatever they reveal, then when a relationship reaches that level, then it is very, very ripe and mature. If one has such relationships, then they have the greatest wealth. That is the greatest wealth in devotional service. Even otherwise, even in non-devotee circles, for one who has absolutely no spiritual aspiration also, even for such people, if one has such trustworthy, meaningful, loving relationships, then their life is actually fairly peaceful and satisfied. When satisfaction comes through affection, then one stops craving for lower dimensional satisfaction like material benefits, you know, or other kinds of distractive urges like, you know, browsing, the addictive browsing of the internet, or social media, these kind of addictive cravings are the manifestations of an a dissatisfied heart. When one experiences affectionate, trustworthy, meaningful relationships, and one becomes very satisfied in that kind of a situation, then all these addictive cravings and lower dimensional pleasures, they vanish away. So therefore, these six exchanges are very foundational. We should invest in them. It is a very, very worthy investment. So when we invest in this direction, then the returns are guaranteed. So, yes. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to this verse in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada writes, even in ordinary social activities, these six types of dealings between two loving friends are absolutely necessary. Even in ordinary social activities, these six types of dealings between two loving friends are absolutely necessary. For instance, okay, just give me 1 second. Okay. He says, for instance, when one businessman wishes to contact another businessman, he arranges a feast in a hotel, and over the feast, he openly expresses what he wishes to do. He then inquires from his business friend how he should act, and sometimes presents are exchanged. Right. Thus, whenever there is a dealing of preeti or love in intimate dealings, these six activities are executed. In the previous verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advised that one should renounce worldly association and keep company with the devotees. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate the six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. The life of the Krishna Conscious Society, this is a very powerful line Srila Prabhupada writes. Please hear this carefully. The life of the Krishna Conscious Society is nourished by the six types of loving exchange among the members. Therefore, people must be given the chance to associate with the devotees of ISKCON, because simply by reciprocating in the six ways mentioned above, an ordinary man can fully revive his dormant Krishna consciousness just by having the six exchanges with the devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.62, it is stated, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One's desires and ambitions develop according to the company one keeps. It is often said that a man is known by his company, and if an ordinary man associates with devotees, he will certainly develop his dormant Krishna consciousness. So, here, so this one point I just wanted to make here. Okay. This may be relevant for some devotees. This may not be so relevant for most devotees. Okay. So, but nevertheless, I will try to make this point. Srila Prabhupada writes here, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate the six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. Okay. So, while the institution is needed to facilitate these things, these six exchanges, it, one may need. But the six exchanges ideally should be on a personal level only. The exchanges cannot be institutionalized. Okay. When the exchanges become institutionalized, then it does not lead to development of friendships. I will give an example. And definitely not everyone will be able to relate with this example, because probably not everyone has stayed in an ashram like setup, okay, or in a temple setup. So in a temple setup, where, because we are here talking about the institution, I just wanted to touch upon this point. In an institution, in a temple setup, many of these six exchanges, or the four foundational exchanges, are all institutionalized. For example, for the temple residents, there are assigned devotees who cook. Cooking is their duty. So they do it. Okay. So, and others don't get to go to the kitchen to cook. Okay. So, whatever is the assigned menu and whatever is the standard recipe, one will follow that and make it. Okay. So, therefore, if you see, in the temple, ideally, the cook is maximum engaged with, you know, one of these six exchanges in a very powerful way. Three times a day, he cooks the breakfast, lunch, dinner. But it is not necessary that this exchange will necessarily develop friendship. Why? Because in an institutionalized setup, everyone has their assigned duties. Similarly, cooking is an assigned duty. Okay. So, there may be some appreciation of some item which has been nicely made. But all said and done, it was cooked en masse and cooked because it was his assigned duty. So, when that activity becomes duty bound because of an institutional setup, then these six exchanges, at least the four foundational exchanges, become institutionalized. So therefore, even though cooking and feeding a person has a very powerful way of nourishing a very strong emotional bond, but when such an exchange becomes institutionalized, even though one may end up cooking for hundreds of people, it need not necessarily generate a strong emotional bond. Because the person who is eating thinks that it is the duty, assigned duty of the cook to cook. Just like I have some services, the cook also has his own services. So therefore, this bhumte bhojayate, that is why this is one advantage that the householders have. In a household, there is so much scope for customizing. The mother can one day cook a breakfast which is the husband's favorite. She can cook a lunch which is the daughter's favorite. She can cook a dinner which is the son's favorite. Like that. So that very act of cooking nourishes bonds. Even though she is not cooking for hundreds of people, she is cooking for a few, but that scope for customization is there, right? And similarly, even giving and receiving gifts are even physical necessity. You know, in an institutional setup, you know, when someone is staying in the temple as a brahmacharya, a temple resident, you know, there are whatever are the needs, okay? It is centrally procured. The temple procures everything that is needed. The dhoti, the kurta, the, you know, the other essential commodities which are needed are centrally procured, okay? So therefore, even though some person goes and purchases for hundreds or for 100 devotees, but nevertheless, that exchange is not considered as exchange of gifts because the person is not spending his own money. He is doing it on behalf of the institution. And that institution is an impersonal entity. You cannot develop a relationship with the institution like you develop with individual personalities. Right? So in one sense, because it may be relevant to some people, those who are living in, so to carry out actually the first two and last two of the six exchanges, one needs some level of economic independence to do it. Okay. So, but in an institutionalized setup, these four foundational exchanges become institutionalized. When they become institutionalized, then the opportunity for them to nourish individual relationships becomes very compromised. I don't know if you have noticed this or not. Okay. Or maybe my evaluation is wrong. But in an institution, when these four foundational exchanges are sort of institutionalized, there becomes little scope for for healthy bonds to develop, unless one has very keenly identified this actually this lacuna, and they have individually taken additional efforts to rectify the situation, right? Like one could give their own personal time. One understands that yes, I may not be able to cook personally for that person because it is centrally done, but I can collect some mahaprasad specially for my friend and give it to him. Okay. And there are many ways, you know, even though there is very little economic independence, but nevertheless, with whatever is available, one can sacrifice one's time, one's efforts, one's physical energy for the pleasure of that other person. It is as good as exchanging gifts and cooking for that person. But in the absence of these foundational exchanges, the middle two exchange of opening of one's heart in confidence and hearing with empathy, one may not become ready for that. And then the relationships remain shallow. So therefore, this is a very critical point. So this is one thing which I have observed, that the six exchanges have to be individually carried out, because the institution will see feeding and providing clothing and other such things as purely a physical need. That is how an institution will see. So therefore, the providing the needs and providing food does not generate emotional bonds. But in an individual household, even when a father goes to purchase a toothbrush for his son, he will ask the son, "Oh, I know you like green color. I will get a green colored toothbrush for you." Right? So even that act of, a simple act of purchasing a toothbrush generates an emotional bond between the father and son. And when they go to purchase dresses or something like that, you know, the father chooses, the son chooses the color of the father's shirt, the wife chooses the color of his pant. So the very act of purchasing clothes, which is a very basic need, but it does not just remain a physical need. It does not just fulfill a physical need, but it fulfills emotional need to a very great degree. But one who are staying in an institutional setup should realize that they are handicapped in this particular front, and one should take additional efforts to actually rectify this handicap. Because if this handicap is not rectified, and if there is insufficient manifestation of these six exchanges, then it leads to very superficial relationships, and superficial relationships will remain very unsatisfied. Okay. So therefore, this is something which I just wanted to share, because I do identify a few devotees here in this forum who have been part or who are a part of an institution, a core part of the institution, staying in the temples. But I don't say that those who are staying in the ashram can never forge good relationships. There are other ways of doing it. We are going to see that very soon, right? We are going to see that very soon. I will just tell one of the ways, which is what we are doing now. Okay. The easiest way to develop loving relationships is to discuss Krishna Katha, and it takes no financial independence actually. Right. We will discuss this topic, but this is one thing which I want to mention, because that we know, right? We have been sharing Krishna Katha with each other for the last more than a year. Some of you have been attending even longer than that. Some of you for the last year, and some people last few months, right? So this is a very powerful way of give and take, which can definitely fulfill that particular need. So I just wanted to just drop this comment on my reflections on this point where Srila Prabhupada says, "The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. But on a practical front, for those who are very core part of the institution, four of these foundational exchanges, because they get invariably institutionalized, they can potentially be a handicap for developing deeper relationships. But certainly there are ways of overcoming it. But if those who do not realize the need to overcome or the means to overcome, they get stuck up in superficial relationships. This is a practical issue. And at least I have observed it, having stayed for a long time. And others have also shared the same. So, okay, there are some comments, questions in the chat box. Someone says, very relevant. Someone says, I don't agree with this, Prabhu. Cook can cook and preachers or pujaris can appreciate and develop friendship with each other. This is my opinion. Yes, this is definitely possible. But how much it happens, and I'm not very sure if you have stayed in a setup. So, I don't know. I'm not telling it is not possible. It is definitely possible. But there are very few places where such kind of a culture is thriving. I mean, everything is potential. It can. A cook can cook, preachers or pujaris can appreciate. But very rarely it happens, generally. If it happens, it's very good. If it happens, it's very good. The potential is there. The potential is there. I am not trying to paint a very grim picture, even suggesting that it is completely impossible. But in reality, one has to put in that additional effort to overcome this handicap. I don't say it's impossible, but definitely an additional effort is needed. That's what I'm telling. Actually, Prabhupada has rightly written so that we can cooperate with each other and have the bonds to run the institution. I'm not denying that fact at all. I'm not even doubting Srila Prabhupada when he says this. But the point is, I am just cautioning that when exchanges become institutionalized, one has to take the individual responsibility to exercise these exchanges on an individual basis. If the individuals don't take that responsibility, then we will end up blaming the institution. So, I am not doubting Prabhupada. I am not saying that, what Prabhupada says is wrong. In all good intentions, Prabhupada is absolutely right. Because if he had not established this ISKCON, then we will be having the six exchanges, but it will not be with the devotees. It will be with someone else. So the opportunity to associate with devotees, that we get because of the institution, for sure. But in an institution, as an insider, if we don't see this particular handicap that we have and take personal responsibility, then we will end up with very shallow relationships. That is the point. Yeah. So in my understanding, the smaller the setup, the better the relationships can grow. That is true. That is the point. Smaller the setup, the lesser will be the effort that the individuals need to take to nourish relationships. The bigger the setup, greater the effort. So in a household, it is a very small setup. There are 4 people, 5 people, So therefore, it becomes easier. In a smaller ashram, it becomes easier. When it grows, it becomes difficult. When it grows, the bigger the setup, the more it has to be streamlined, the more institutionalization is needed to have a streamlined functioning. And the more these kind of exchanges become institutionalized, the lesser the opportunity for personal exchanges, for having these six exchanges on a personal front. then it becomes, the relationships becomes little bit more and more impersonal, like that. Anyways, any comments, discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Yes. I'm sorry, many of you may, it may be, might have been a little difficult for you to relate to this particular topic that we discussed, but I thought at least some devotees were there, it might have been a little bit easier for them to relate. Yes, Radha Pramod Prabhu.
When Prabhupada is telling here this institution, he is basically telling between devotees and outsiders. The example Prabhupada gives also is like that only.
True.
Of course, this is possible with devotees, but basically he is telling institute is basically to give this opportunity of exchange with devotees between non-devotees, so that non-devotees come into the fold of devotees. Because
that's a very good observation. That's a very good
observation. And within devotees, what you said is, within devotees, what you said is, we have to make an endeavor, because always institution is it's a necessary evil, because these are the limitations of an institution. And this is one of the limitations in the institute. With we'll have these issues, because even when Bhaktisiddhanta says Thakur time also, all the fight between devotees is because of being in institute only. They wanted all this post position, everything comes. The fight is because of the institute only. So such exalted devotees also, we find they face difficulties. So there are limitations in the institute. Like this one of the limitations, because the relation becomes strained. But this example, what Prabhupada is giving and establishing, is basically, I feel, to attract the outsiders into devotional. Yes.
Yeah, correct. I totally agree with this point that Srila Prabhupada here, if you see the example that Prabhupada gives, he makes this statement and see what he says next. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has established to facilitate the six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. The life of the Krishna Conscious Society is nourished by the six types of loving exchanges. Therefore, people must be given the chance to associate with the devotees of ISKCON. Because simply by reciprocating in the six ways mentioned above, an ordinary man can fully revive his Dharma and Krishna Consciousness. Like that, Srila Prabhupada says. Yes. Okay, something else. Okay, there is a question in the chat box. How can we do this in virtual mode? We are already doing it in virtual mode, right? In one sense. By sharing Krishna Katha is a very powerful form of doing this in virtual mode. So, I've observed that in these kind of forums, I've seen as much as the facilitator is appreciated, there are the devotees who participate in meaningful conversations by asking relevant questions and sharing relevant insights based on their personal experience. Their presence is as much appreciated, actually. So therefore, virtually, how we can do? By coming together to discuss Krishna Katha, sharing Krishna Katha. This is a very powerful way of doing it. There may be other ways of doing it. We can discuss it. But this is one very powerful way which we are already doing, actually. Yes, Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. I could totally understand everything you were saying about the need for people who are living in the institution to take greater responsibility for their, heart nourishment. But I feel that that is also true, even if you are an outsider, a congregation member, because my finding is that really every temple has its own personality, even among teachers in the mundane sense, right? They will tell you that each classroom has its own, very unique individual personality, even though it's a group of students, But similarly in temple, I find that every temple has its own I don't know if you want to say pop or what. And just because you are an outsider and you go to visit a temple, you know, that congregation may not necessarily jive with your mood, you know, because different temples have different moods. So if you don't find one temple to be so nourishing, then I think you should feel that there's nothing wrong that you just go and find a different temple, that some another temple that is more in alignment with your own heart, you know. And so therefore, I'm just making a point that even as an outsider, somebody who is not living in temple situation, we still have to take the responsibility to find that sangha that nourishes our heart. It's not just because you're gone, you've gone to an ISKCON temple that therefore, you know, you should feel nourished. It doesn't work like that. Just like, you know, we all have our individual friends. Who was a friend to me? That's, I, you know, I might not, you know, gel with that person at all. So I move on to somebody else. So I think same thing in temple setting. You have to find that temple that is nourishing for you as an individual.
True. I agree. Yes, I totally agree with this point. Yes. Thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. There is something in the chat box. I sometimes feel difficult to relate many services as service to Krishna. After some time, that service looks like a burden. Kindly suggest some steps to avoid this situation. We could discuss on this point, but I'm just trying to see how it is exactly relevant to the topic that we are discussing. Maybe we could do it offline sometimes, you know. Just between us. Yeah, of course, the point is not about an institutional setup. That is basically the topic that we are discussing is the six exchanges. And in the context of that, I just made a small point that in an institutional setup, then there is a very good chance that the foundational exchanges, the Dadati Pratigrinnati and the Bhungte Bojayate Chaiva aspects can get institutionalized. When these foundational exchanges become institutionalized, then the preliminary relationship becomes a little bit difficult to develop. And when the preliminary relationship becomes difficult to develop, then there is, then one may struggle with the opening up of the heart and hearing with the empathy, the middle two exchanges, which are like the most critical of the six exchanges, which really take a relationship very, very deep. So, therefore, one has to be, that was the main point that I wanted to make. So still the focus was on the six exchanges and not on the institution. So the question is valid, though. We may take it offline sometime. Okay. So anyways, let us continue our discussion. So the next aspect is Swatovare, more advanced. So one should certainly know how to evaluate good relationships, more advanced relationships, without necessarily judging, right? So, Krishneti yasya giritam manasa priyeta diksha chet pranatikrishcha bhajan tamisham shushrushaya bhajana vignyam ananyam anya lindari shunya tadamikshita sangalabhyaya. So, one should know how to deal with devotees according to their level of advancement, right? So we don't judge people. So when we see someone who may not be very advanced, then we appreciate the potential in that jivatma to advance. And if we see someone who is very advanced, then we feel very jubilant and take that opportunity to serve that person and somehow seek the association of that devotee. So therefore, one should certainly while very carefully avoiding judgmentalism, but definitely one should try to seek more better and better association, which will nourish one's devotional creeper very powerfully. Okay. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, in order to intelligently apply the sixfold loving reciprocations mentioned in the previous verse, one must select proper persons with careful discrimination. This is Srila Prabhupada in his purport, he writes this. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore advises that we should meet with the Vaishnavas in an appropriate way according to their particular status. In this verse, he tells us how to deal with three types of devotees: the Kanishtha Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Okay. But we have to be beware of offenses. Drishtair Swabhava Janitair Vapushascha Dosheir Na Prakritattvam Iha Bhakta Janasya Pashyet Gangambasam Na Kalu Budbuddha Pena Pankair Brahma Dravattam Apagacchati Neeratarmai. So, while we have these six exchanges, but when we come to have these six exchanges, we will certainly see the conditionings of the other person. And unless we learn to distinguish between the person and his conditioning, we will become too disturbed by the idiosyncrasies that we might see in the other person, and we may end up judging that person, criticizing that person. So therefore, one should learn to see beyond the conditioning. So we are here talking about relationships. So what nourishes relationships are the six exchanges. But what becomes an obstacle to that nourishment is our superficial vision. So, what is a superficial vision? The superficial vision is when we do not learn to see beyond the immediately visible conditionings of the other person. But beyond the immediately visible conditionings is actually the heart of the devotee who wishes to serve Krishna in loving devotion. But sometimes, or most of the times, that heart becomes hidden by the externally visible condition. So therefore, as devotees, if we want to make best use of the association, then we should learn this art of seeing beyond the conditionings. The devotee is willing to give his life for serving Krishna, but he may be unable to do it because of his conditioning. So unless we learn to separate, because as we saw before, any person's actions can be triggered by their faith or it can be triggered by their condition. Okay. So any inappropriate act performed by a devotee will most likely be triggered by his condition. So therefore, one should learn to distinguish and give benefit of doubt for them to the devotee that yes, I know that all that he wants to do is to serve Krishna sincerely. But poor guy, he is struggling with his conditionings. That's why he time and again ends up performing these inappropriate activities. Let me help him. Let me help him. Who does not have conditionings? I have my own conditionings. How much I yearn not to be judged by others for my conditionings. So, similarly, let me also not judge this person for his conditionings. If I help him overcome his conditionings and sincerely choose not to judge him for his conditionings, that empathy will generate a very strong bond. Many times, we as devotees, because we possess a very strong value system as to what is right and what is wrong, we have to understand as devotees, if we don't mature, we have to understand that we are handicapped to making good relationships. Why? Because if we don't learn this principle, then we will end up judging every single person. Oh, we will see that, oh, this person talks about devotional service, but he does not mean what he says, but because he secretly what kind of actions he is doing. So, which means he does not believe in what he speaks because his actions indicate something else. Right? Which may not necessarily be the case. In fact, he may sincerely want to follow whatever he is speaking, but somehow he has become a victim of his strong conditioning and he is sincerely repenting inside. But by our judging that person, but because we are endowed with a very strong sense of what is right and what is wrong for devotional service, as devotees, we are more prone to judge others. Judgmentalism is a more serious problem in the devotee circle than in the outside world. I'm not sure if this is your observation. I'm not criticizing devotees for this, but we have to understand that this very wonderful pure devotional value system that we have received, if we do not maturely understand this science, then we may become ill-equipped to retain our relationships and go deeper in making relationships, because we will never find a person who is not conditioned. So, this is a very important principle in making relationships, is learn to distinguish the person from his conditions. The person may not want to act that way. He is just a victim of his conditioning. So unless we learn to see through these glasses, our own pure devotional value system that we have received may become the greatest obstacle for us to develop good relationships. Because we are immaturely applying these principles, these values which we have received. So this is a very important aspect that that while while we have these six exchanges to nourish, we should be very careful to learn to distinguish between the person and his conditionings. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Yes, Mother Gail.
Yes, what you just said seems like a very valid criticism, which, you know, I definitely am guilty of. But I wasn't sure, therefore, why you said that you weren't criticizing us for it.
Okay, can you repeat the last sentence, Mother? What did you say?
Yes, although I understood your point and I am guilty of it, but I couldn't understand why you said, therefore, that you are not criticizing us for this.
You are not criticizing us?
Yes, you said that you are not criticizing the devotees.
I'm not criticizing the devotees, because devotees are also here victims of misunderstanding, or you can say improper understanding. So I'm not criticizing them, because they are very sincerely trying to apply the value system that they have learned in the association of devotees in judging devotees. But in reality, they are also victims. They are also victims of an immature understanding or an incomplete understanding.
Yeah, sure. So but just because we're victims doesn't mean that we're not also doing wrong things.
No, we are
both are going on. Both are going.
Yeah, if I criticize, then I am doing the same mistake, right? So I am telling we should not criticize, and in the same breath, if I criticize someone because they are criticizing, then I am doing the same mistake.
Okay, so, but I mean, as long as that sense of judgmentalism isn't there, I think you can criticize.
Yeah, I am no one to criticize anyone, because I have my own faults. But the point is, we have to see that we have received the greatest treasure of a pure devotional value system. But if we do not know how to utilize it, it can actually cause great damage. That is the point that I just wanted to make, actually.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Remembering one poem composed by devotees which said how come they have come to Goloka on being judgmental, seeing one another. Okay, I'm not able to understand clearly. Anyways, if you have that poem, you can share maybe later. Okay. If there are no further discussion points, let us move on. Okay, there is something. Radha Pramod Prabhu.
This is by Mahatma Prabhu, bro. He writes one poem. Like, you know, one devotee, he reaches Goloka and then he sees his temple president is there. He said, how he can be there in this Goloka? He is all fraud, this, that. And he says, temple commander is also there in Goloka. He says, how can he be? He's always punishing, shouting at devotees. And like that, he's telling that how can he is there in Goloka? How can he is there? Then one devotee comes and says, Proji, keep silent. Everybody is surprised at how you are there in Goloka. This is what the poem is. He writes, actually.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you. So then we did discuss that the institutional handicap which we may have in having these four foundational exchanges, but that can be offset if we develop the habit of discussing Krishna Katha because this is a very, very, very potent means of developing a loving relationship. So this verse we have already discussed many times. Parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavad yashah mitoratir mitastushtir nivrittir mita atmanaha. So paraspara anukatanam means mutual discussion of what? Pavanam bhagavad yashah. Pavanam means purifying. Bhagavad yashah means the glories of Krishna. So when one develops the habit of mutual discussion of the glories of Krishna, then it leads to three benefits. First is called as mito ratihi. Okay. Mito ratihi means mutual affection. It leads to mutual affection. Mito ratihi. Affection or affection also means happiness. One definitely experiences genuine happiness in the association of affectionate people. Right? Then, mito tushti. Okay. Mito tushti he means satisfaction. Just satisfied to be in the association of that person. One does not need anything else. One does not need any other source of entertainment. Just come together with that person and discuss Krishna. One feels so joyful. Like some of us, you know, definitely feel a sense of mutual eagerness to come together to discuss this Krishna Katha. Right? And unless there is a sense of satisfaction, why day in and day out? Some devotees, I know, you know, they attend 3 or 4 sessions every day. How is it possible if there is no sense of satisfaction in the association of devotees? Satisfaction in coming together and discussing Krishna Katha. Unless it is there, why would devotees come? So definitely if one develops this habit of discussing Krishna Katha in the association of devotees, it leads to mutual affection, mutual satisfaction, and nivrittir mita atmanaha. Nivritti means detachment. A confidence to overcome the material attractions one gets. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur commenting on this, he says, taking shelter of purifying discussions where there is glorification of the Lord, one will have mutual enjoyment without rivalry. So, when affection is there, there will be mutual enjoyment without rivalry. One will have happiness arising from association with other devotees. Satisfaction, happiness. Mutually, one will become detached from material enjoyment, from one's wife and other things, unfavorable for devotional development. This means, if you are becoming detached, I also will become detached starting from today. So, one gets a favorable confidence in the association of devotees if there is a culture of coming together and discussing Krishna Katha and thereby experiencing the affection and satisfaction in such a sangha, then automatically that sangha grows together. And the people feel a sense of positive empowerment and confidence in overcoming their anarthas. Oh, I knew that he was suffering, from the same anartha that I had, but he has overcome it. So which means if I try, I can also overcome. Like that, one feels a positive sense of empowerment in such an association. So this is another verse which actually illustrates the same point. Yet Bhagavata Rajan Sadhavo Vishadashayaha Bhagavad Gunanu Katana Shravana Vyagra Chetasa Tasmin Mahat Mukaritam Madhuvit Charitra Piyusha Sheshtharita Parita Sravanti Tarye Vibanti Avitrisho Drupa Gana Karnais Tanna Sprishanti Ashanatrit Vayashoga Moha. So, how, whenever there are devotees with pure hearts and proper faith who are eager to hear the discussions of the qualities of the Lord, profuse streams of nectar of the pastimes of the Lord emanating from the mouths of the saintly devotees flow everywhere. So where there is sincere, where there is a sincere desire to hear, then it empowers the speaker also to speak Krishna Katha. And in that association, whoever drinks with great eagerness that Krishna Katha, one can overcome the influence of hunger, thirst, fear, lamentation, illusion. All these anarthas we can overcome. This is positive empowerment. Right? One feels confidence that yes, it is possible. I can overcome in the association of devotees. So, therefore, hearing and chanting in the association of devotees is a very powerful way of actually offsetting whatever I shared about institutionalization of the four exchanges. That can be offset very powerfully by having this culture of hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. We are not spending anything out of our pocket, but we will feel so positively nourished in each other's association that it generates a level of gratitude which is very difficult to generate, even if, you know, one spends a lot of money to purchase very expensive gifts to the other person. So therefore, those devotees who have identified this solution of coming together in the association of devotees and discussing Krishna Katha on a regular basis, chanting in the association, hearing Krishna Katha in regular association, they can overcome the handicap of institutionalization of these six exchanges. They have figured out a way of overcoming it. This is a very powerful solution. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we wind up for the day? It's time already. Okay, if there is none, then we will end our discussion here. Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next Wednesday. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki jai, Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki jai. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai, Bhakti Aloka ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Yeah.